Oh, yes.
Because that's something that is not common between men and officers in the First War. I mean, most men hated their officers' guts. I mean, there was such antagonism between
them.
Yes,
I know cases that there are officers that were not liked.
There were some officers who, when their backs were turned during an offensive, found bullets coming from the opposite direction.
Yes, I know that. They didn't. I know cases where they didn't even wait for bullets. They just heaved them overboard.
Really? And then the German machine guns deal with them.
On the way overseas, they just catch him outside in the dark night, and over he goes.
Indeed. It's their own own fault, though, isn't it? Really? I mean, you do not treat men in that manner in which
you know,
they
there are some sons of bitches you can't change no matter what you do.
Yeah. And the trouble is, if you get a small person, and I mean small in the fact that the smallness of the personality, you give them a degree of power and authority, and it goes straight to their head, and they think they can do damn well whatever they please.
Yeah, I know very well what you mean.
Yeah, it happens so often. And there were a few checks and balances. I mean, these people were given autonomy, and as long as they got done what had to be done, their company commanders or the battalion commanders really didn't care.
Yeah.
Because chances are they were friends of much of it was a big family. And, you know, there's a book that's just come out by Desmond Morton that deals with the overseas ministry, the Army's overseas ministry in London. And you wouldn't believe the backbiting amongst people like Sam Hughes and Sam Steele and the high-ranking officers, and how Sam Hughes wanted his son to be in command of the 4th Division at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just appalling. It really is. And it makes you wonder how these people could lead us and lead you.
Yeah. I know.
Enough to make you swear, I tell you.
No.
But how did you get to England? By what means? What ship did you go on?
Britannic.
You went to Britannic?
Yeah.
What kind of, was she a liner?
Yes. There were about, I can be mistaken, but I think there was about 10,000 troops on that ship.
So this was one of the massive liners that, and she was so fast, I don't think she had to worry about torpedo.
Well, that's one of the things that they were planning on anyway.
Mm-hmm. So your entire contingent went aboard the Britannia?
What?
Your entire contingent went on the Britannia?
Yes, and there were a lot of Western troops on the Britannic too.
What do you mean by Western troops?
Alberta, Saskatchewan.
So it wasn't simply Nova Scotia?
I don't know how far west they went, but there were a lot of Western troops, that, what I say Western, beyond Ontario.
Mm,
they'd come in by train and gone on to Halifax and gone on to the boat, you see.
Yeah. So it wasn't exactly a long trip for you from the Halifax Armories to the dockyard?
I don't... you say it was a long trip?
Look, I said it couldn't have been too long a trip to get from the armories to the docks.
Oh, no. Well, we came in from Kentville, Nova Scotia, to the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. We were allowed. I think the 85th Battalion. After everybody was aboard, and we were to sail in a certain time, I think the whole 85th Battalion was allowed to go back on the dock because they came from there. Their most of their families were there. I think that was right. But
was your family there?
Hmm?
Was your family there?
No. one of my good friends was there, a chap that came from Southampton and lived in Halifax. He was on the boat.
What were the conditions like on the boat with 10,000 men?
Crowded, Jesus. Yeah. The three people sleeping on this and all those bunks.
You sleep in ships? You sleep in ships? Or would you have one bunk that was yours?
You had your bunk and your things there, and I think you kept the same one, but oh, it was so crowded, right down to the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't there, I wasn't down there, but it was pretty bad. Especially people getting seasick, you know, and
Well, they say the sanitary conditions were just abominable.
Oh, yes.
Well, did you see the show Billy Bishop Goes to War?
Yeah.
Do you recall that he said that they tried giving seasick people brandy in order to stop them from throwing up?
Mm-hmm.
Did they try that on your trip as well?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. But was the vomit, the amount of it, as much as he implies?
I'm sure it was, although I don't know.
How did you maintain your sea legs? Well?
Well, I had a pretty good trip over, that's about all I want to say.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk about that part of the trip?
Well.
Did you ever get up on deck? Did you get up on deck at all?
Yeah.
Very rarely, I should think, because with that many men on board, everybody would want to be on deck.
We got close to Ireland. I don't know what day it was. But anyway, we were zigzagging most of the way over. We were zigzagging. There were two or three warships.
Convoy?
Hmm?
You had a couple of warships with you screaming?
Around the ship all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And but when we got closer to England, they disappeared, and we were to be picked up just off Ireland by a light. These other ships were to pick us up there, you see. The other ones had dropped off.
Mm-hmm.
There was a signal, and it was a flare of a match about that much.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the signal you would get. I was on deck when that signal went off. I saw it.
Well, what kind of evening was it? Was it pitch black?
Black as hell. This was the middle of the morning, just before daylight in the morning.
So you could have seen anything.
Hmm?
So you could have seen anything, even a small little flame.
Well, that's all it was. They didn't want any German submarines to see a flare of any kind at that time.
I should think off of Ireland there would have been a lot of German subs.
Yeah.
So after that they got in convoy again and headed to what, Southampton?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you this? I know you don't want to talk about the trip, but how did the officers handle their duties? Because this has been one of the things that I've found in my research, that officers tended to neglect their prescribed duties on board ship, and they would just hold themselves up in their cabins usually,
mm-hmm.
you know, drink their wine and brandy and stuff, and just ignore the men.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, this was the case with demobilization after the war, particularly. But was it also the case on your trip over?
I think to quite an extent, yes. The senior NCOs got the brunt of all that.
Mm-hmm.
Looking after the men, getting them to where they get something to eat and back to where they were.
Did you find that the stewards, and this is sort of an age-old custom, would try and sell extra food on the side?
Well, I never ran. I know that it went on, but I never ran into it. I saw it.
Yeah. What about the food itself? Was it palatable?
Oh, awful.
Yeah. Cold, mostly?
Mostly, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of thing I think one wants to forget.
Yeah.
Trips like, how long did the trip take?
I forget. 5 or 6 days, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Perhaps a little longer than that. About a week.
So I guess, again, to quote Billy Bishop Goes to War, when you arrive, you look like a boatload of Balkan refugees.
That was his line.
A boatload of Balkan refugees.
Yeah. Worse than that, I imagine. She said, after those fellows being so seasick like that and penned in down there, you... Anyway.
Were you held in quarantine when you got to Southampton, or could you immediately disembark from the ship?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. I take it there were trains.
I don't think so. I think we went directly to camp.
This is Schoenberg? Hmm? Or is it Salisbury Plain?
I can't remember the place.
A fairly large military camp.
Down near Guildford.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where Guildford is now in relation to that.
Nor do I, so we'll say Guildford.
Mm-hmm.
You went by train?
Hmm?
You went by train?
To
Guildford?
Yes, I'm sure, well, that... This place was near Guildford, where the camp was.
Was it an extensive, permanent sort of
camp?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And had it been a Canadian
encampment? Yes, yes.
I see. This is, I guess, where... Well, you said the 4th Division formed up in France, so you would still be either in battalion formation or brigade formation, I guess.
Well, the 4th Division was in France when we went there.
Oh, I see.
We went there. We went to France and were in reserve back of Vimy Ridge before the battle took place. And then we were in reserve trenches at Vimy Ridge when that happened.
Okay. When did you get to England? What month and what year? It would be, what, summer 1916?
Yeah.
June, July?
In France?
No, in England.
Yes. I was in England in, we landed in England, the regiment landed in England in October.
October 1916?
Yeah, maybe. That would be October 16.
So you actually spent quite a lot of time in Halifax, almost a year.
Well, after all, we had disbanded and recruited 3 more regiments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that did take some time.
So you were one of, if we'll use the phrase, one of the originals from the original battalion.
Yes,
that was,
yeah.
Divided 2 times after that to make 3 battalions.
It wasn't divided. The other regiments we recruited were separate regiments.
But wouldn't you take officers and NCOs from the existing one? And
very few.
Mm-hmm.
We did. Some went to the other regiments.
Yeah.
Some of the senior officers particularly went to the other regiments.
Mm-hmm. What numbers were these given? And were they aligned with you?
Were they what?
The other 2 battalions. Were they reserve battalions of the 85?
No.
Or?
No, they they were set up as new regiments. One was the 193rd. Well, that was perhaps an echo of some of 193 that had been. They went out and recruited them, and God knows that the place had been recruited so much before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the soldiers came from around St. John and New Brunswick and like that. And a lot of the, we had a lot of people in the 85th Regiment from Newfoundland, scattered through the regiment.
Mm-hmm. Of the three battalions still in Halifax, were the majority of the people in it, were they Canadian born, or were they like the other and earlier battalions sent overseas, a large proportion having served with British units?
No, these were, by this time, most of those, anybody that served British units had already gone overseas.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been some instructors.
Who finally got their chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, were they? Did they tend to be younger men, or was it a good cross section?
Well, the better instructors and like that were probably a little bit older,
mm-hmm.
around the 30s or perhaps in 30 or somewhere around there.
But good, solid, experienced NCOs at least.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other ranks? Were they younger?
The other
privates and whatnot?
The other ranks, oh yes, a lot of them were 20, under 20.
And not many older?
Not many, no.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few. There were quite a few in some spot. A couple of old fishermen down the south of shore in Nova Scotia. Christ, I think the old boys were about 55 or 60.
Really? And they said, I'm 39 years old.
They had an old minister there. But these fellows would come to Ralston, you know, and say, oh, I knew your father and mother, and I do this, and I do that. And Ralston take them on the regiment.
Well, it sounds as if young, strong, you must have had a good spirit as a group of men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we get along very well.
Well, when you got to England, how did the training differ? You had a year at least.
Well, you're a little more intensified and...
Did you have British instructors?
Yes, you got different instructors. A lot of instruction on how to get into a trench and how to look after that and trench fighting, getting out of a trench and getting out to attack and like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot different that way, where the training I had before was marching and as I say, defending yourself with perhaps a rifle or a bayonet.
Mm-hmm. I've read that bayonet wounds were very, very, very rarely happened.
Mm.
It's either a shell splinter or a rifle bullet. How did you take to this? I mean, teaching you this kind of war. Different from anything that you would expect it, or was it?
Yes.
It's certainly not a romantic way to fight war.
No.
Did it bother you? Because you would now be hearing shell fire in France over the horizon. You would see wounded men probably wherever you went on leave. You know, the war hadn't ended at Christmas.
Mm.